Please be seated. Our meditation psalm today is 77. This continues the string of psalms by Asaph, the human writer. But as with all the book of Psalms, all the scripture, it is truly and fully the word of God. You see there up in the superscripture, Jeduthun, and that is probably a direction for how it's to be sung, not the name of a tune. You may have notes that say, ponders diligently. So you're supposed to give this some deep thought. So the psalm itself reads, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Back when I was a senior in college, I fell into doctrinal error, which led to all kinds of anguish. I'd come to the mistaken conclusion that I was of the reprobate of God and that none of the promises in Scripture were for me. Salvation was impossible for me. I was too great of a sinner, right? Now, no one can know that they are reprobate. You can know you're of the elect because you've come to Christ. And I consider now that I was under somewhat of demonic oppression at the time. But this whole instant was so scary, so horrifying. And I almost had like PTSD over it for years. One of the comfortable places I could go to was Psalm 77, where Asaph is talking about his fears, his doubts, his concerns. I could relate when he wrote there about how it was that he remembered God in verse 3 and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I don't know of a man-made hymn that talks about this sort of thing. I know of ones that say, I'm happy all the day. But this is going to a depth because it's written by God for his creatures. It was a comfort hearing these words of near despair, because I knew God knew my heart. And in his kindness, he had provided this to let me and others of us troubled by fears, troubled by hard times, troubled by afflictions. We are so troubled that we begin to ask, is God going to cast me off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? All thoughts that reverberated within me and maybe have within you at times. God knows your weakness. God knows your affliction. He has provided this for you to see that he knows and he cares. And he is not forsaken as Asaph feared in verses 7 through 9 there. Because he has provided a Savior who had these thoughts in the depths of his soul there at the cross. Now, in my affliction, I felt like God should or would kill me at any time. And I was tempted to suicide, but then I thought, this will hasten my final condemnation all the more. I can't do that. I was too pained to live, but I was too frightened to die. Well, eventually, God in his kindness provided a minister, a particular Baptist minister, who helped me to see. No, I was totally misunderstanding some scriptures. Totally misunderstanding. I had to look instead of at my imperfect sanctification. I had to look to the crucified Christ. I had to look at what he did for sinners. And when I would complain to the minister about the fact that I was such a sinner, surely God could have, would have nothing to do with me other than to judge and condemn. He pointed me to 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said to me, you think you're the worst that could ever be? Sorry, that's already taken. And God saved him. Look to Jesus. Look to his finished work. Look to what he did in your place, his perfect life. And then his atoning death at the cross. Look to that. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is what Isaiah was led to write about in chapter 45. Look to me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm a just God and a Savior. And there is none else. Look to me. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at what you're doing in your life and pick it apart. That is the accuser talking to you. Right. So eventually what happens here, Asaph, as he is writing, he stops to think there at the end of verse 9. And at verse 10, everything changes. What he does is look to God's faithfulness in the past. How God was faithful to his people. And he's one of those people. He looks at a situation in the past where God's people were in an apparently impossible situation. On both sides of them were impassable mountains, north and south. To the west was a, as the saying goes, waste howling desert. Behind them to the east was the Red Sea. And coming through was the mightiest army in the world at that time, the Egyptians. They were literally dead. But God provided a way. God brought, and the picture we have here is like a great storm like we might have in the springtime with lightning, thunder, torrential rain, tornadoes, all kinds of stuff. God used that terrible storm to open the way. And the people went through. As we read in 1 Corinthians, they were baptized in the flood and the cloud baptized into Moses. And I often note with my Baptist friends that there were some who were totally immersed, but it wasn't the Israelites. So God remained faithful to his people. God brought them through the affliction and destroyed the enemies and brought them safely to the other side. So he does with us. Now, it may be that you have trial and affliction. And I know a few of you in this congregation have had trial and affliction like to me. Look to Jesus. He is the one who delivers. The way to go is the way that Asaph went. Look to God's faithfulness in the past, for we know that he changes not. He's already perfect. He can't change to get better because he's already perfect. He can't change to get worse because he's perfect. God changes not. His faithfulness does abide forever. The answer to each question there in verses 7 through 9 is no. Will the Lord cast off forever? No. And will he be favorable no more? No. Has his mercy ceased forever? No. Has his promise failed forevermore? No. Has God forgotten to be gracious? No. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? No. No. All are here for sinners in and through the person of Jesus Christ, because he endured what you would have to endure by his death on the cross. Well, let's sing from Psalm 77, and we're going to use for this Psalm 77b.